Would you know what to do in the event of a security incident? On today's podcast, we're talking about common security violations, what they are, and what actions you should take to minimize damage and mitigate risk. It's all about protecting our important information. Welcome to Airwaves, the official podcast of the Naval Air Systems Command. I'm your host, Michael Lauren Prue. And joining me today from the NOC AD Security Office is Kelsey Buckler, Information Security Lead, Carlos Mays, Information Security Specialist, Robert Hanlon, Information Security Specialist, and Carlton Silvestro, Security Education and Training Awareness Program Manager. Welcome to the show.
Hello, good to be here.
So Kelsey, what is a security violation?
So a security violation is any knowing, willful, or negligent action that could be expected to result in an unauthorized disclosure of classified information. It can include CUI as well, and those are on a case-by-case basis, but it's an actual or potential compromise of information, and it requires a preliminary inquiry, which then determines the likelihood of a loss or compromise of that information.
Now, Carlos, what are some examples of common security violations or incidents?
So some of the more common violations or incidents we deal with include electronic spillages, security containers being found open or unsecure. So like someone forgetting to spin the dial, classified material being improperly packaged or shipped, and cell phones or other unauthorized electronics being brought into a classified space or meeting, just to name a few.
Perfect. So how do we protect ourselves against those security violations? I mean, what do we do, Kelsey?
So we have what's called a security incident response plan, and that plan outlines the roles and responsibilities for effective and efficient reporting and response for security incidents. It assists with quick and active response and recovery from security threats and incidents, and it minimizes the loss of the compromise of CMI and CUI.
It's really just like the step-by-step, hey, if something happens, here's what you should do, because it's not a very common occurrence. Well, we hope it's not a very common occurrence that these security violations or security incidents happen. So it's there to help you as the end user say, oh, if this happens, what am I supposed to do? It's a guidebook. It's a helpful thing.
So it sounds like a perfect way to proactively protect ourselves, right? So what would be the major components of a security incident response plan, and how do you develop a new plan?
As Carlton stated, it kind of gives you the step-by-step, what are your roles and responsibilities with reporting, or what are our roles and responsibilities as the security incident response team? It talks through the investigation process and how that looks. It goes through the different types of security incidents that could occur. It talks to the required actions and possible outcomes, whether that be refresher training, disciplinary action. And for the NOC AD specific IRP, it gives the specific points of contacts for you to reach out to. And in order to develop a new one, you just want to make sure you're up to date on the security incident response policies. It's kind of standardizing a process where you identify the different roles and tasks of the incident response team, and then just creating the policy, testing it out, and identifying the lessons learned with that.
Carlos, can you share a specific example of a security incident you have responded to in the past and the lessons learned from it?
Certainly. So electronic spillages are a big one, and one that can result in a lot of damage, time, and money to clean up. The biggest way to prevent these types of incidents is really ensuring that personnel are familiar with their security classification guides, or SCGs, and making them readily available for folks to review prior to sending that email or placing information on an unclassified network.
And I just want to add, as far as the cleanup and the price of that, it changes daily, but it does fall back to the command and the program office that is responsible, the originator of that spill. So just keep that in mind as you're typing up emails and things like that. Please, please go back to the security classification guide.
Now, Robert, do electronic spillages only deal with classified information on unclassified networks?
No, a lot of what we see with spillages comes from compilation. So if you're familiar with your security class guide, the SCG may say you may talk about item A or capability B, but talking about A and B together in the same communication may have caused compilation, which increases the security classification of that communication. So that will bring into the spillage.
All right, so let's say that there has been some type of security incident that I've noticed. What immediate actions can I take to mitigate the impact or my security risk, Carlton?
So immediately, You want to make sure that you ensure that all potentially compromised assets or information is properly secured, whether you're putting that into a secure container or you're getting that into a room if you need to be, if it's a larger asset like a printer or a laptop or something like that, you need to make sure it's secured properly. The next step that you need to do is you need to make sure that you notify your security point of contact, whether that be your security coordinator, your lab manager, your program security manager. Those are the individuals that you want to talk to. You want to also talk to your supervisor, make sure they're notified as well. Getting the people whose information it is notified about that to make sure they're aware of it. After that, we want to make sure that you participate in the preliminary investigation. So that's going to happen from our information security team. They're also going to be wanting to be notified. So the command security manager, Kelsey and Carlos and Robert with the information security team, notify them and then participate in that preliminary investigation. Also make sure that all other individuals that were involved in it, not just you as the original noticer of the violation or the incident, all the individuals who may have received an electronic spillage from the email like Carlos was talking about, or all individuals who potentially saw the paper that was left out or the container that was left open, the person who was the last one to open the container, make sure that all these individuals participate in that preliminary investigation. That's the big things that we want individuals to do once a security incident or violation happens.
So certainly I can imagine this is also an opportunity to learn from an incident that's happened. How would you analyze an incident afterwards to identify a root cause and prevent future occurrences? Kelsey?
So analyzing an incident is part of the preliminary inquiry that we do in interviewing the different parties involved in that incident, as well as fact gathering. And that's basically what a preliminary inquiry is just fact gathering to identify the root cause and really what took place. Based off of the findings, that would determine what can be put in place to prevent future occurrences, such as training and things like that.
Now, what are some of the potential outcomes of a preliminary investigation?
So some potential outcomes, depending, this is really an individual basis. Like every security incident or violation is different. And whether it is a security incident or a violation or a practice danger to security, those are the three main outcomes that can happen from a preliminary inquiry. So practice danger to security is where we don't think there was a potential loss of information, but we have found like a weakness in a security measure that we want to shore up. We want to make sure that we focus on in the future and we don't do that again. There could also be a security infraction, which is the next step up. That's where a loss or compromise of classified or controlled unclassified information, as Kelsey said, may have occurred, but the threat to national security is minimal is what we're talking about there. And then the last one is an actual security violation. That's where a loss or compromise of controlled unclassified information or classified information did occur. And that could be either some electronic spillage, which is majority of what we see, probably about 90-95% of them are spillages. There could also be a secure container that was left open or a secure room that was not locked at the end of the day. Those are the major ones of those. So once that has been determined, whether it's a practice danger to security or a security infraction or a security violation, our information security team and the command security manager will issue a letter to all the individuals that were involved in the preliminary investigation and say, this has been the outcome. And then they will also give suggestions on possible sanctions or actions. Usually, majority of the time with these things, especially with individuals who it's their first time happening and it was not malicious in intent, there's going to be some remediation training that happens from it. We want to shore up those incidents and talk about, hey, this is how we can make better on this, or here's steps that you need to take to fix that security weakness that we have. But also things that could be asked to do are warnings, reprimands. There could be higher level sanctions like suspension without pay, forfeiture of pay, removal, discharge if it has been malicious in intent or there's other actions, it's multiple times offenders, or it could be a loss or denial of classified access. It could ultimately be a removal of classification authority too.
I think it's important to point out that the security office just makes recommendations. The security office does not implement these sanctions on people, and that the employees still have the same rights through their supervisors and their HR process. And it also should point out that the vast majority of our recommendations are training and improvements in SOPs to basically address the issue, not come after the employee.
Absolutely, Robert. The employee does have due process in this whole entire thing. So the security office and the command security manager make their recommendations specifically to the supervisor. And then that supervisor of the employee is going to work with human capital management to talk it out and say, hey, what is the best course of action based on these recommendations from the security office? And like Robert said, majority of the time, it's just going to be, hey, go talk to Carlton and get some remediation training on this.
So certainly never want to hesitate to report a security incident. Kelsey, if I did report an incident, what can I expect?
So what I do, if I'm assigned a preliminary inquiry, I like to give that individual, the originator, kind of a warm and fuzzy, and I walk them through what my roles and responsibilities are. I do the fact gathering. I draft up the preliminary inquiry report that goes to the command security manager. I then let them know the command security manager will take a look at that PI report and concur with our recommendations, and that will either go to the supervisor or the program manager. Same with contractor. If it's a contractor originator, the letter will go to their FSO of their company. But I always like to walk the originator through what those steps are so they're aware and they're not blindsided, and just to give them that warm and fuzzy. And a lot of times I'll give them a heads up or what my recommendations are. If, like Carlton stated, if the offense has happened a couple of times, it's going to be a little bit more than training. But for the most part, it's just recommending refresher training.
Perfect. So how do you ensure effective communication and collaboration among different teams during a security incident response?
So effectively responding to a security incident requires a lot of preparation, planning, proper resourcing, technical knowledge, communication, and coordination among various personnel who are required to respond to an incident. Coordinating efforts among the various stakeholders, such as cyber, is really a critical part of incident response and why we have a local incident response plan in place to help define those procedures for reporting and response by all parties involved.
Right, so in addition to having that good plan in place, what can we all do to best protect our information and minimize risk or reoccurrence?
So we want to make sure that you have security at the forefront of your mind while you're doing this work. We've all agreed to these security policies and programs and procedures we have. And by not throwing it by the wayside, by making sure we are living up to that agreement that we have to protect our information and doing the basics that we're supposed to be doing and putting that into practice, that's really going to help shore up these potential loss of information. And that's really what it is. It comes down to thinking about it, doing it, and putting it into action. And that could also involve training. We have these policies in place and we want to remember them. So we have these trainings to continually remind ourselves. Retention, 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 remembrance, remembrance, remembrance. That's how we get into these good mindsets and these good practices. It also comes from a culture of awareness and making sure that all of us are working together. When we're checks and balances with each other, we're reminding each other, we create that culture of awareness, and it ultimately builds a better security posture for the entire command.
All right, as we wrap today's podcast, where can someone get more information about security incident response? Carlton?
So we have lots of available resources for that. We have our Security SharePoint site, which has lots of frequently asked questions. There is courses of action for incident response. There is information about getting in contact directly with us, whether that be through our visiting us in our locations. We have a security help desk that's open and available for people to come into. We also have our information security team's website, distribution statement. So that's NOCAD_infosec@us.navy.mil. You can also reach out to the security help desk email, which is NOCAD_securityhelpdesk@us.navy.mil. You also have your embedded security. So whether that's your program security manager, your lab managers, your security coordinators, these are all knowledgeable individuals who are ready and willing to help you with anything security wise you may have.
And just to add, we always ask the lab managers, security coordinators, program security managers to have that incident response plan handy for the individuals in their labs, within their organization, as well as the security classification guide. We want to make sure that those documents are readily available so that personnel are aware and can easily have that at hand.
All right. Well, thank you all for joining us to talk about security incident response, to share some common security violations, and what we can all do to minimize risk and protect our information. This is one of three security-related episodes that we are bringing to you this month as part of Security Site Awareness. So make sure you don't miss any of the important information by subscribing to the Airwaves podcast on all your favorite listening apps. And that's it for this edition of Airwaves. Thanks for listening.